Roger. So this is Roger Cole, everybody. Welcome. We honour you in our midst. Mighty man of valour and courage. Releaser of destiny.
It's very nice. Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here. So I'm pastor of Henley Baptist Church. We should do some more things together, shouldn't we? This is a lovely feel, very similar things, similar spirit. And it's good that Christians occasionally do things together and something builds. So thank you. Some came across to the Ian Andrews Day. Thank you for coming across and sort of helping us. I did that, launched out in faith to do that and sent the word out. And I think it was about 4 weeks before I had two people booked in. And then on the day, 90 came. So I was happy chappy. And that's good. And fresh faith came, some good testimonies of healing coming out of times like that. One guy had a twisted leg, and he came with his sort of walking sticks into the meeting. By the end of the meeting, he was completely healed. He went back to Northampton on the Sunday and was doing star jumps just to show everybody, because they'd watched him just, you know, for ages be sort of limping around. So God is doing good things. And the guy himself, this guy called Ian Andrews, he doesn't do lots of praying himself now. He gets everybody else doing the praying, giving it away. And so it's a great encouragement to sort of go and do it. Just a little bit of background. I became a Baptist pastor, not because I went to a seminary, college, and did all the study, but I think just God spoke to me as a youngster, and I just would watch the way they did church and the things that did at church, and I would feel good in church. I don't know what it was. I would feel good. Lots of people around, and then all this stupid teenager stuff, you go off and you think the world's wonderful, and it isn't. And so God brought me back again. I think it must have been 1920. I just had a failed engagement. This girl started going off with another bloke. I didn't think that was a very good start to a sort of marriage relationship, so it got finished. And then I cried out to God again. I was working on a farm. Agriculture was my passion. I loved working with animals. At the time, I was working on an arable and dairy farm out in the hills down near Sidmouth in Devon. And that's where God spoke to me and got hold of me. And there was a young, thriving sort of group of people there that they persuaded me that I needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, no, thank you. I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm a believer. Get the Holy Spirit then. Don't want to know. And they, then I saw a lot of what they did. And I thought, you've got something I haven't got. Yes, Roger, it's the Holy Spirit. So they prayed for me. Nothing happened to start with. And then on the back of a tractor going up and down the fields, I was doing some rolling. That doesn't mean you sort of go up on a hill and roll the tractor down. It just means that you sort of flatten ploughed land, and you don't need a degree to do that. You just need to turn the tractor around at the end. I forgot on one occasion, went into the ditch, but never mind. So there on the back of the tractor, I began to sort of reach out to God and say, Lord, and they prayed for me, and I didn't feel anything, but maybe something has happened. And I began to sort of make up some words. And as I made up these words, there was a presence on my tractor as I went across the fields. And I began to shout out, looked around to make sure nobody was watching, you know, miles around, nobody was there, and had this wonderful time. And went back that Thursday evening to the coffee bar in Sidmouth to try it out with other people. And they would do a bit of worship, you know, they would lift up their hands. I would get my hands, so that's enough. And some of the girls would go, Jesus. And I would think, ugh, you don't know him like that, do you? That isn't a very man thing. But anyway, so I got past my hands and Jesus. And then, and I began to speak out in tongues. I went back then to my home Baptist church, told my younger brothers, two of them, and the other youth group, And they all wanted it. So the church that didn't really believe in tongues and the Holy Spirit had a bit of a problem in their hands. All these young people wanting to meet together, speaking in tongues, wanting to do worship, and they sort of brought it into the church. That's a thriving church now. So God did something. And people said, Roger, there's a call on your life to be a pastor. I said, well, that's very good, but I'm doing agriculture. And I ended up working in Oxfordshire with pigs. That was my passion, working with pigs. Just seeing pigs, hundreds and hundreds of them breeding, and work for the Pig Improvement Company. So that was what I was into, improving pigs. And then eventually the pastor of the church, a guy called Steve Thomas, spotted me and said, Roger, would you be prepared to leave your job with the pigs and come and work in the church as a pastor? And I thought, what? He says, I'll disciple you into it if you agree to come. So I did. And so I pastored a church over in Oxfordshire, Cope Baptist Church. That's where I started. And then I went to Whitney, slightly bigger church. And then I was involved in a church plant in Abingdon. And then from Abingdon, I moved downriver to Henley-on-Thames. So that's where I am now. I've been here longer than any of the other churches. We've just been there 11 years. And I think God's on the move. There's a passion, there's a hunger, and there's something growing. I can see amongst you there's something growing. I felt just before I came out, I needed just to say who I was. I hope you forgive me for just giving you a bit of a potted history. I just was praying a little bit. I said, Lord, have you got a word for the church here? And something quite quickly came into my mind. So I'm trying to present it to you. I don't know what you do and what your mission is or anything, but this is what I felt. Marlo, God has given you much. Now is the time to walk out with him on those investments. I was impressed that we were praying beforehand here, and this lady called Jill. Where is Jill? Oh, here. Jill was talking about gifts and investments that God had made. And there was a great pot, and he'd put gold coins in. These were the gifts of people. And then he put the heat under it, and it boiled over. And this gold and this precious stuff boiled over into the areas around. And I thought, sounds as if something similar God's saying. And this is what else I felt. God wants you to take some big steps. Like an elephant, he's put you on his back. It's like being on the back of an elephant. He's lifted you up, put it on the back so that you can do some walking and big steps. And it took me back to my days where I grew up in Bristol. I used to go to Bristol Zoo. And when I was really young, they had an elephant that you had rides on. It was about, you get about 8 people that would ride on this elephant. But the elephant only walked about 100 yards, and it turned around a tree and walked back again. And that was it. And you paid your... I loved it. I was always wanted to ride on the elephant. But do you know what? I think I used to dream about it. It says, wouldn't it be great if that elephant walked out the gates and began to go all over the place? I believe God wants you to be a people that take some big steps and go some places out there. Go some places. He's going to take you out beyond your comfort zone to do what he's got for you to do. Okay? Can you weigh that? And if that's relevant for you, then be obedient and do it. I would like to just talk to you a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit in healing in the local church. I have to be honest, the preparation came for this, Ian Andrews conference, but Dave asked me to do something along these lines. So I've tried to just be listening and say, okay, here at Marlow, when you've been doing this series on the Holy Spirit, how can we see the Holy Spirit be released much, much more to bring about his miraculous and the power of God in situations? Because we need to see it. And people actually out there love to see it. People are open to it. And so we want to see much more of it. So I thought I'd try and encourage you in this. Okay, this is back at home. I just thought I'd give a couple of examples. This guy's called David. The day of the selfie, you know, you can take a picture of yourself. And so when I do some pastoral visiting, just to prove that I'm doing it, I occasionally take a selfie and show people, oh, I visited this guy. This guy's called David. He damaged his right leg, as you can see. It's bandaged there. And they had to operate on it because it was twisted and it wasn't growing properly. He was in a lot of pain with his toes. And so they had to break the toes, put in a metal plate, and then they encouraged him to sort of do some exercise, get walking, and it would all be fine. Well, it wasn't fine because the metal they put in his feet there broke. The bolt snapped, and then he got an infection on the inside, and then it all flared up. So he was back into hospital. They had to take... they found out what bug it was, and they had to treat him, and he was in a lot of pain. And then when he came back, it was okay for a little bit, and then it all got red again. So this is me going in to pray for him, for all this redness and swelling to go down. And within a couple of days, it did go down. So he went back in, and he said, oh, something's changed, it's better. And he experienced a real sort of power of God. Now, that's a little thing, isn't it? That's a little thing. But I tell you what, if you're out there and you've prayed for a lot of people and you don't see a lot of encouragement, it's great when you get these bits of encouragement. And then this is another lady here. Ines is her name. She's had something called, I think it's called Hodgkin's disease. She shakes a lot. And came to me the other day and said, Roger, I've been healed. And I thought, you don't look very healed, Ines, sat in your wheelchair there, shaking a little bit. She says, no, she says, I went for my checkup, and the doctor said to me, how many years have you had this Hodgkin's disease? And she said, 40 years. She's had it for 40 years. And she said, I don't know anyone that looks as good as you and gets around as much as you who's had it for that long. What do you do? And she says, well, I have people come in and visit me. I have people that pray for me. I go to a church. They encourage me and pray for me. And I do as much as I can. He says, well, that's doing you a lot of good. Keep doing it. A few weeks previously, she went and she fell over and damaged her ribs. And they thought she'd broken ribs. And she had gone into a big shaking sort of spasm thing. And they took her into hospital. They x-rayed her. She'd been badly bruised, but no break. And so I get my little pastoral visit with her. And her family's around. Her sister's around and somebody else is around. And then the doctors there as well. And then they all go out to have a little consultation. So I said, come on, Ines, let's have a little reading together and a little pray. And so she sort of, she starts giggling and I sort of chuckle. And we quickly get in our little reading and pray before they are coming back. And so she's shaking all over like this with the shock of the fall and everything. And as we're praying and giggling and laughing, the shaking sort of just dies down a bit. She's chuckling to herself and I'm chuckling. And the sister comes back and looks at us and says, what's happened? And the doctor says, you're better. It's stopping. And she says, it's just the pastor having a little reading and pray with me. And we left. She went on chuckling the next day as well. And it wasn't long before she's back. Just a little bit was the encouragement on the way. And I think God wants us to be doing these things of just praying with people and believing God for a bit more. Don't get discouraged if you haven't seen too much, because I believe God wants us to be a people that just takes part in this whole thing of being out there praying, getting involved. Now, I do want to sort of ground it in something, because I don't know, there's a thing going on, I think, in the church a bit that's, you just wonder nowadays what people really believe. I was encouraged that you were singing songs about Amazing Grace, and then about you did the Lord's Prayer, and you made proclamations of what God is doing, His grace, His power, and what we believe in. It's just very good. And so I want to do one of these things, what I believe about the Holy Spirit and healing in the local church. So, first of all, that healings and miracles should be part of any local church's life. So when Dave says, right, any testimonies? There should be a row of people. Hey, I've got one. Even if they're small. The thing is, Dave did one. That was huge, wasn't it? That lady, it's just powerful. And what happens then is, oh, I feel a bit intimidated. My little one doesn't look so big. Hey, lots of little ones. And often what you find is God then throws in the big one. Yeah. And I want to keep praying. You see, in the early days, we had these guys come around and they used to sit us down and measure our legs and pray. And it was great because you used to feel your back going into position and your leg would grow. And everybody used to get so excited about it. And then we stopped doing it. Why did we stop doing it? It was so much fun. And there was such a presence of God. But do you know what? I still keep doing it. And we've seen lots of miracles and healings and get youngsters involved. You get youngsters praying for their young friends and they see legs grow. They think it's amazing and their backs get better. You know, I think we ought to be a people that see miracles as part of our local church's life. Secondly, I believe that there should be an atmosphere of faith for God's supernatural healing and prayer for healing, which should be offered during or at the end of any meeting. I think people want to know if they come here to Marlow, they'll pray for you. Well, Michael will pray for you. And I really need to say, I do appreciate Michael. And Glenn, you're very lucky to have this guy around. I've been to his house a few times. Do you know, there's some people talk all about the dreadful things that are happening in the world and all the dreadful things that are happening around and the way the enemy's involved and what the next worst thing is going to happen. And you're sort of, and you're with him and your faith goes down. With Michael, he's saying, God's about to do revival. Have you heard about this? And I've been here and I've seen this. And you sort of, you go up, and you feel good. You say, whoa, I want a bit of that, please. And so he's just lovely to have around. So it's a blessing. So this atmosphere of the supernatural, this atmosphere of prayer for healing, I think is should be part of our life. Get a move on, Roger. There will be regular words of knowledge so that people's faith to come forward for prayer so that they and these words of knowledge can be given by team members and people in the congregation. You know, when people come up to me on a Sunday and say, Roger, I was praying and I got this thing about somebody's foot. I say, anything more specific than just a foot? Yes, there was pain coming through. Just write it down then. And they write it down and give me, and at the end of the meeting, I'll give it out. Because they spent some time praying and says, wouldn't it be great if loads of the congregation had that sort of thing so we could just give them out? Faith comes, it seems. Okay, next one. That prayer... I've gone too quick, sorry. That prayer for healing should extend beyond the church to family life, time with friends, occasionally in the workplace. Why do you say occasionally in the workplace? Well, your boss pays you to do some work. So if you spend all your time doing that sort of thing, he may get a little bit suspicious. So do it occasionally. Break, lunchtime, all that sort of thing. But it happens. In the workplace, on the street, cafe, airport, school. After this conference we had, I was stirred up to have a bit more of a go. And we were coming back from Poland. This guy started chatting to my wife. And he's a good-looking guy, so I was joined in the chat. And this guy he was speaking about, and he was saying that he'd loved skiing. He'd been to Zakopane in the south for the skiing stuff. And so, oh, do you do some skiing? No. My knee went, I smashed my knee years ago. Can't do any skiing accident. So we began to talk a bit more. And I was going, Lord, please, give me the opportunity. Pray for this guy's knee. And as we talked, you know, he said, well, what do you do then? I said, well, I try and hide it as long as possible. If you say, I'm a minister of a church, you know, they all switch off. So I do a bit of this and a bit of that, and I go around here and visit countries. He said, you've been to a lot of countries. How do you manage to get to all these countries? Well, I thought, I got to tell him. He says, well, I go and speak, and I speak about God's power to heal and do stuff, and people seem to appreciate it. He says, does it? Yeah, that stuff doesn't happen, does it? He said, oh, well, yeah, it does. Let me give you some examples. Began to talk about examples, and he says, whoa. He says, that's great. He says, no, just as I'm chatting, would it be all right if I did a little bit of praying for that knee of yours. Now, I know it looks odd on a plane for a bloke next to you to have his hand on your knee, but would it be all right if I had a go? He says, yeah, come on, have a go. Because he'd been stirred by all the stories and stuff. So he put his hand on his knee. He says, I can feel warmth going through my knee. And I says, yeah, people say that as they get prayed for. Warmth is often a sign of the Holy Spirit moving. And he says, but my hand isn't warm. And he said, well, your hand's cold. I said, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. We believe it's the Holy Spirit. And he says, wow, he says, this is a bit mind-blowing. And he says, so do you think you're saying that God really has got a plan for your life? I said, yeah, he has. That's the way God did it. He says, do you think God's got a plan for my life? He says, yeah, of course he has. He says, well, how can I get into that plan then? You know, this is on the plane, and it's even Ryanair. And it's not a posh, it's not in your sort of nice lounge type BA stuff. And he's going, well, how do I get into God's plan? I said, well, starts with Jesus. It's getting to know Jesus and opening a life to him. And then he'll lead you to be a part of a church. I've tried, you know, giving them, you know, you do this, this, and this. And I've tried leading people to the Lord like that. And it's fine, they say the prayer, but they don't do anything afterwards. So I like to get the hunger going. He says, it starts with Jesus. And you need to find a church. Here's some churches where you live. And I gave him a few, and he took my card just to, you know, opportunities like that. God, I believe God wants to give us them out there. He wants us to be, and sharing the testimonies afterwards. Now, what I find as I go around is people have got problems with the healing thing. So you may fit into one of these. Here we go. What about the people that don't get healed? We prayed and they never got healed. Do you know what? We just don't know about those people that don't get healed. But why should that stop you? Because some people do get healed. They do get healed. They have a change. And so I'd rather keep going and keep pressing on and encourage people. They say, look, if you go to the doctor and he gives you some antibiotics for what you've got wrong, do you then say, that's it, I'm never going back to the doctor again because what he gave me didn't actually get me better? No, you don't. You go back. You get my, he said, this didn't work quite right. And the doctor will say, okay, we'll try on something else. We'll do a bit something else and give you another go. And or he'll say, take it for another couple of weeks. And why don't we approach healing in the same way when it comes to God? Please, Lord, I need to receive your healing. Some of these people keep asking God, and then there's breakthrough. Okay, so I can't answer all these, but I'll have a go. I've tried once, and it didn't work. We have people say that. I've been up for prayer, and it didn't work. It says, there's something called perseverance. Scripture's quite keen on that. People that persevere. The lady who kept coming to the judge and asking for justice, he got so fed up with her, he gave her justice. God's not saying he's like the judge, but a little bit of perseverance, God listens to the people's heart. It may cause people to lose their faith if you prayed and nothing happened. I've never yet found anybody lose their faith when we've prayed for them. And apparently nothing happens. What we find is, I think this, just feel the Holy Spirit's here, because I think some people, even in this room, you've been damaged, you've had some goes, and then your faith is drained away, and you thought, I'm not going down those hyper-type people. They're always doing it, and I can't believe their stories anyway. Listen, there's a power of God at work, and he wants to help us. There's one, the Anglican minister in our road in and my first church heard that I was quite keen on praying for people. I liked laying hands on people and having a go at prayer. And one of his congregation had cancer. He was very sick. He was bedridden. And the guy wanted a communion with prayer for healing with laying on of hands. It's somewhere there in the Anglican prayer book. It's not used very often, but this guy wanted it. So the minister there, he does not like laying hands on people and he doesn't like praying for healing. So he says, I know what I can do. I can ask that Roger Cole to come. I'll do the communion, and when a bit comes on laying on hands, I'll just get him to do it. says, would you be willing to do that? I said, yep, I'm up for it. So I went in, first church, you know, keen to be sort of seeing breakthrough, and I wanted to help that Anglican church. So I pray my prayers. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the cancer. We loose this man from it. We speak the peace of God into his anxious heart, and we pray just release deliverance and healing in Jesus' name. Amen. So I went back to the vicar. On my bit, lay on my hands. And he continued on and did it really beautifully, finished it off and did the sign and everything, and that was great. So I was looking forward to hearing some results a few days later. And his wife just phoned through to say he'd passed away. So I was a bit choked. I thought, oh well, another one of those no answers. I went to the funeral, and as we were coming out the door at the end of the funeral, I said, really sorry that it didn't work out, the praying that time. She said, oh, Roger, after you both left, all the anger and all the tension he had gone completely. He was really at peace. He knew he was in the presence of God. And it was totally different in the house. The atmosphere in the house was totally different. And I went away, I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because, you know, we make up all these things and we say, not this, not this. And then we come to some conclusions. I think some of the conclusions are wrong. Okay, God may want us to suffer. Well, maybe there are some times when we need to walk through a bit and get through it. Some people refer to, see, just like Job. We're like Job. We need to suffer. Like Job had to go through it. It's there in the Bible. Okay. If you're saying, like Job, that you're the most righteous person in the earth, then I could go along with what you're saying. And even Job got healed at the end and came through. Said, you see, so I don't spend half my time researching on getting a real good theology on suffering. I'd rather pray for some breakthroughs and spend a bit more time doing that and see God at work there. It doesn't really answer the suffering thing, but let's keep going on to see breakthrough. People blame me for not getting healed. This is a person who's been prayed for, and they've been prayed for a number of times, and somebody said, you haven't got enough faith. That's the trouble. I said, well, tell those people it's a load of nonsense. It's because they didn't have any faith. Tell them that if they tell you off next time. And I feel it's because the church is only growing up in this area, and we're beginning to get it, we get it wrong lots of the times. And I never say that to people if they don't get healed. It's not because of their faith. In fact, some people say, I haven't got any faith to be prayed for. I've got no faith for healing. I say, oh, don't worry about that. God still loves doing stuff. There was one house group. It happens in a house group. And I had a word of knowledge. There's somebody here with pain all the way down their back. And there was this girl here. I said, oh, bother it. I said, what? Are you saying something? She says, yeah, it's me. And she said, I knew if I came to house group that you'd have a word of knowledge about my jolly condition. I said, well, would you like to get some prayer? I said, oh, I suppose so. So I put her legs together and just prayed for her back, and her legs grew out and her back came. She says, bother it. And she was crying. She says, now I've got to go and be obedient to the Lord and do what he's told me to do. No faith, nothing. Purposes of God being worked out. She wasn't even pleased that she got healed, but God wanted to heal her. What if it's counterfeit? What if it's counterfeit? People say, oh, you know, it may, you know, you're praying and all that stuff, it may be counterfeit. Oh, read that. See what that says? Shout it out. Gordon Ramsay. Do you see the N there? When I walked past that place in Tenerife, I thought, oh, Gordon Ramsay, that would be a good place to get a meal. He's a good cook. But it's not. They've done a bit of trickery there, put an N instead of M. And do you know, okay, we know out there's all types of dodgy healing stuff. But people say, well, you may be flowing in that dodgy stuff. I said, listen, I've been prayed for. I've gone to the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's not worry ourselves sick about, could it be this, could it be that, could it be the other. Let's go on and pray in the name of Jesus. Have trust in him. It's the real thing. So, you know, the thing is, if we have all these things going, we'll come to some conclusion. These are the conclusions. If people are going to get upset when we get praying for healing, then don't pray for healing. If you don't pray for healing, we don't need to expect anything to happen, and therefore, nobody will get upset. But nothing will happen. So I want to encourage you to break past those barriers and all those barriers that are in the back of our minds, and sometimes they're in our subconscious, and break past, because the Bible's just full of it. It's full of the promises of God in the Old Testament, that God's a healing God. Put up some verses. It's part of the character of God. He says, I am the God that heals you. He's a healing God. So we can come to a healing God. And there's some lovely stories. Hezekiah, he got an extra 15 years. And the lovely story of Naaman, who gets healed from leprosy just by a girl. We don't even know the name of the girl that says to him, if my master was to go to Israel, he'd go to the prophet, and the prophet would heal him. And so he does. But we don't. The girl doesn't get mentioned. I wonder if that's just a little indication. It's not a big ministry. It's not a big person. It's a little person just working as a slave that points her to the healing power of Jesus. And then in the New Testament, we get Jesus just wherever he went, he healed people. Do you know, here is the Christ doing his work. We are called Christians, little Christs. Isn't it part of our sort of inheritance to bring the healing power that Jesus moved in? Why don't we take it on, have a go? See, his teaching is full of it. And he just went on and did it everywhere he went. So he sent out his disciples. He commissioned them to do the same. And he commissions the 72 to do the same. And then when he ascended, he tells his disciples to go into all the world to preach the gospel, baptizing them into all nations and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He commanded his disciples to go and preach the kingdom and heal the sick. Hasn't changed. It's still for us as well. And then we go into the New Testament in the book of Acts. We see the whole there in church history, page after page, it talks about the healing power of Jesus being worked out with the disciples, right into all the early church fathers. The same thing. Wonderful testimonies, one after another, of healing. I was going to read one of Augustine's healings when he saw a woman healed of cancer. Haven't got time. Okay. I just want to stir a little bit more faith for you and just say, have a go, but don't fall into some of the traps that I fall into. I was down in Wantage, and there in Wantage, I'm just going to do two testimonies. I need to finish, and I just watched the watch go. It's so quick. Sorry. Okay. I was down in Wantage, and we had a Jubilees meeting. This is the elder folk across our group of churches. And I'd watched Ian Andrews, and he would pray for people, and he would put his hand on people and say, I just pray right now that this difficulty will go in the name of Jesus, like that. And as he prayed like that, the person would dramatically shake or fall down or something would happen to them. You think, wow, that looks good. I could do with a bit of that. So I thought the next time I pray for somebody, that's the way I'm going to do it. So I, there was this lady. I had what I felt was, going to just use this chair a minute. So I saw this lady. Had this word that, oh, this is what I got. I got a picture in my mind. A word, angina. Now, I thought angina was actually hair loss, which you can see. And that's what, I hadn't sort of looked it up or anything, and I'd got the wrong end of the stick. Anyway, so I just got this word, angina. And then I saw a picture, of a heart. And I thought, And so I said, I've got these two things. I've got this word angina and this thing about heart. Does that make sense to anybody? Now, when you've got a group of 70, 80, and some 90-year-olds, that is a good environment to have words of knowledge and is an open door to being able to pray for people. So this lady immediately put up a hand and says, I have angina. So I said, oh, good. And everybody said, no, Roger, not good. So I said, okay, but can we pray for you? She says, oh, yes. So there's another lady there with me. And I said, could you put a hand over your heart? And this is for obvious reasons, because I want to put my hand near where the condition is. And so she put a hand over her heart like this. And so I thought, aha. I saw something. I thought, I know what it's about. It's about darkness being over her life, and that's affecting her heart. It's like a spirit of death has been over her. And it's clear, since her husband has died, she's sort of gone round in this heaviness. So this is what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for that dark spirit of death to leave her in the name of Jesus, just like Ian Andrews does. So as I went, and like this lady with a hand to her, I said, in Jesus' name, speak the darkness. Go in the name of Jesus. And this lady, as I said, go in the name of Jesus, she went, oh, what? And I suddenly felt, I've prayed the wrong prayer. And I looked at her, and she was not moving. Now, I know you guys, you're used to this all the time, but I wasn't. And so she's lying there like that, and I go, she's dead. I said, here, I have a Jubilees meeting. I come into Wantage. The first person I pray for dies. Really great. But you're taught as a minister, this, whatever's going on around you, so just stand there and look as if you're in control. You know what's going on, it's right. Even if you don't have a clue, just stand there. So I just did what I was told, stood there. And I was going, I wish I'd done my first aid. I says, what do I do when somebody's heart stopped? Do you press? How many times do you press? Where do you press? There. And it's a woman. What do I do? And she stopped breathing, mouth to mouth. How many times do you press the heart? And then when do you breathe? And I was going through all this, and I thought, I'm going to have to do something now. And then this lady, she went like this. Oh! Oh, oh, I do feel better. And my response was, yeah, so do I. And a month later, she was back. And she was saying, all these Jubilee people around, she says, do you remember I got prayed for last time? They say, yes, we remember. And says, well, she says, my heart has improved. My blood pressure has gone down. The tests on my heart show that the damage to it has subsided. And what's more, the doctor took my eye test because my eyes had been deteriorating. My eyesight has gone back up again. That's not bad for 85, is it? She lived into her 90s. She has passed away now, but she was good, healthy, and well. Extra years, Hezekiah stuff. Okay, one more little example, and let's go and pray. I was at another conference, same guy, Ian Andrews, helping us. And we were just talking about left brain and right brain. And some people are very logical, left brain people. Other people much more intuitive, creative. And God will often speak right brain. He'll give you ideas and creative stuff, and it'll come into your mind. And that's his Holy Spirit very often. He does it like that. And so he says, right, we're going to have a go now. Close your eyes, everybody. Let's just pray for the Holy Spirit to come. And just images and pictures and stuff that the Holy Spirit wants to give, just be open to it. So I close my eyes. And as I close my eyes, there's a lady with a bright blue jumper, a little bit like your shirt, really bright blue. In fact, God wants to speak to you. And he's saying that there's a passion that's grown in your heart. He wants you to break some of the old boundaries, and he wants to move you into new arenas, new areas, and there's boldness in you. You've got a bold spirit, and there's something in you. He's breaking open, and I feel God saying, this is no accident what he's doing with you at this time in your life, because it's for a bigger purpose, and it's like you're going to take take some jumps up, and the supernatural is going to be part of that whole new thing in your life. Anyway, getting back to this lady with the blue jumper, and there was this blue jumper she had on. So as I closed my eyes, all I could see was the blue jumper. And so I was going, I've come to this conference. I've paid to be here. All these spiritual people around, all I can get is blue jumper. Now, what good is that? And I was complaining to the Lord, really. And then I felt him say, listen. So I listened a bit more. Then I got these words, Blue Danube. Do you know what that is? It's a Strauss waltz. I don't like Strauss. Da, 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 da. And there in my mind, I'm going through this waltz. And then I'm thinking, oh, Christian meeting, what am I doing? And then as I listen, there's just this, I felt the Lord say, separation, divorce. So I thought, oh, maybe somebody here liked dancing the Blue Danube, and then they got separated, and then a divorce, and then they're here, you know. And Ian said, if you've got anything, just come out to the front. So I sort of walked slowly to the front, because what you're waiting for is about four or five people to go up ahead of you so that you don't have to do it immediately. You've got time to relax and think a bit. So Ian sees me walking and says, Roger, come up here and do yours first. Thank you, Ian. And so I decided not to do the makeup of the lady doing it, you know, with the divorce bit. So I just said, I just got this word, Blue Danube, separation and divorce. And Ian was trying to get us to be really clear and specific. So he says, you know, tell us whether it's a lady or a man. So I had a 50% chance. And because I saw the lady in the blue jumper, I went for the lady. It's a lady, and it's to do with the Blue Danube, separation, divorce. And Ian said, does that mean anything to anybody here? Silence. You know, nobody moves, nothing happens. And you just stand there. And this is why I'm thin, because it's stress time. You just, the weight drains away. You just stand there, and it just drains away like that. And so standing there, thinking, oh, Lord, I wish I was watching the rugby. And then a lady started crying halfway down. Now, ladies, I believe this is so. There's two types of mascara. There's the expensive type of mascara, which is waterproof, less expensive, that is not waterproof. Guess what type this lady was wearing? Less expensive. And so there were streams down her face like this. She was crying. And so Ian says, Roger, there's your lady. Go and pray for her. So I walked down the steps. I've made this lady cry. So I'm thinking, I don't really want to pray for her. So I turn around and say, could I have another lady to pray with me? She says, yes, have the pianist. So the lady got off the piano and came down. So I walked down to this lady, put my hand on her, this is my prayer. Please, Lord, stop this lady crying. Absolutely rubbish prayer. Nothing. The lady just went on crying. The pianist gets down on her knees and says, tell us about the Blue Danube and the separation, the divorce. She says, when I was 5 years old, she says, I used to play the piano, I'd learned the piano. My favourite piece of music was the Blue Danube. I learned to play that. She says, that was the time my mum and my dad separated, because they said I was such an awkward, difficult child. They couldn't go on in their relationship anymore, trying with me, she says. And they separated, got divorced. Says, I've carried that all my life. And this morning when I came to this healing conference, I prayed, God, please, please, I need to be free. Could you help me? And this funny guy that looks a little bit like a giraffe. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. This guy tells about the Blue Danube and the separation and the divorce. And I knew God was speaking to me. Before the end, this lovely lady on the piano just prayed, ministered to her, just ministered the love of God and the life of God. She was like this in the worship before. She ends up like this, just worshiping God, just open to God. Folks, this is not a hard thing. We can all be doing this. We can be doing it in all over the place so that Jesus gets the glory. More and more people get touched with the presence of God. More and more people get healed. So, actually, you could have me out praying lots and lots of people, but I want to give it away, encourage you to do it, and just keep doing it. There's a few little things, just to finish with words of knowledge. Somebody here, you've got some sort of chest trouble. I believe this person with the chest trouble, you've had a number of x-rays and difficulty in the chest. You haven't got over the medication you've had, hasn't got you over it. God wants to heal that today. There's somebody else here. You have incredible pain in your eyes. A lot of the time, you go through pain in the back of your eyes and through your eyes. You've had some, again, some medication. It hasn't sorted it. I believe the Lord wants to sort it. I think, I felt the Lord say, this is a lot, there's 11 people here in this room that suffer with quite severe back pains and back difficulties. And wouldn't it be nice if a whole lot of people just prayed, speaking in the name of Jesus, that spines come back into the right place, that muscle pain goes, because I believe God's here to do a whole lot. I believe your faith is rising. He wants to keep doing that and send you out to do all that he wants to do. Sorry, I have gone on way too long. Forgive me. Can I just lead you in a bit of prayer time? And then you've got a team, can't you, that can come out and pray. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being here. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you. You're here. You're here. We want to just declare right now, in our hearts, this is, Lord, we're not going to be give up people. We're not going to be people that are just put off. We don't want a few disappointments to be used by the enemy just to stop the flow of your life and your spirit moving through us. We want, dear Holy Spirit, to be instruments, as we started, temples. Temples. We want to be temples of the Holy Spirit, that he can not only just admire us and give us that sense of knowing that we're sons and daughters of the King, but you want your Holy Spirit to be flowing through us, out to others, so that others touch the presence of the healing, loving, powerful Jesus. Lord, help us, we pray. Break the strongholds in our minds. Break the strongholds in our hearts. Break the disappointments that have been over us. And Lord, together we're going to be a people that just move again and again by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we speak release in Jesus' name. Release, come, come, release. Release of the Holy Spirit, just come. Thank you, Lord. You're doing things. Thank you, Lord. Somebody else here, you've had a struggle with it's right on your neck here. I think it's some sort of accident you had. And this, is it a collarbone? I think it's your collarbone on your left-hand side was damaged. And you've been in pain. The Lord wants to heal that right now. Do it, Lord. Minister by your power. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Because of time, I'm going to just suggest Dave's got a team of people. There's a prayer team here. Why don't, if you've been stirred up in your heart and you say, Lord, I'm going to move out in a new way, and you just want a bit of prayer for that, why not get some prayer today? And if you are one of those words of knowledge, why not just come forward? You might bring a friend. If you know your friend has got, yeah, you are that one. You are that one with that back difficulty. You were talking about it the other night. God, take the opportunity. Get some prayer in the presence of the Lord. And we'll spend a little bit of time just praying for people and seeing a bit more release. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave.